Does your life ever kind of sound like that or feel like that? I get the impression that at least some of you know what I'm talking about. And I have to say thank you, Donna, for that song, because people do need the Lord, very much so. Now, the message that you're getting this morning is close to the end of a series, which, in case you haven't noticed, is "Isn't It About Time You?" And then we'll fill in the blanks. I hope they've made you a little bit uncomfortable, at least in part. And I hope they especially have made you think, because they're supposed to. It isn't something that some of us, and I include myself in that, always like to do. But we've got to. You see, our world is changing much more rapidly than we would like. And we're faced with a challenge. How can we remain faithful to God and His Word so that the message we give to others does not change? And yet, we must find a way to share that unchanging message in a changing and sometimes not very well understood world, to a people who think and live in a new and different way than what we're maybe used to. So we have got to think. How can we win a new people to an ancient and rock-solid Christ who holds the hope of the world in His hands? Think. Please, think. What this message today is about is listening. Don't just hear my voice. Don't just hear my words. Listen with your heart, with your ears, with your soul. Listen for God's voice. Let it strike a spark in you. Now, at the end of our service, when Pastor Mike asks for a response, respond. Even if you're not sure exactly what you should do, because you're listening to the voice of God, and I hope that you will say to God, to paraphrase Isaiah 6:8, "Here am I. As I come, inspire me. Inspire me to think for you and use me." Now quit meddling and go to the message. Listening to the voice of God. And this, by the way, is something that hasn't always happened the way God wants it to. Psalm 81 says this: "But my people would not heed my voice." This is God talking, by the way. "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels." And listen and feel what God is saying here. "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hands against their adversaries. Oh, that my people would walk in my ways. Oh, that they would listen to me." When I read this, I have got to wonder how many times God has spoken to me, to us, and we're not listening. I wonder how many times He has had something specific to say that we needed to hear, but we were too busy with something else to listen. Does God still speak to us today? Of course He does. But why, we say? People will say, "Isn't that old-fashioned?" Well, Charles Stanley, I hope you understand who Charles Stanley is, most of you do know, has written some of the reasons. I'm going to share you reasons right now. No explanations, no elaborations, just reasons, because they apply to me, they apply to you. Charles Stanley wrote this: "Does God listen today? Why? Because, number one, He loves us just as much as He loved the people of the Old and the New Testament times. His love, his voice didn't end with Bible times. Number two, does God listen or does God speak today? Yes, because we need his definite and deliberate direction for our lives as much as did Joshua and Moses and Jacob and Noah and Peter and Timothy and Paul and so on. Does he still speak? Yes. He knows we need the comfort and assurance he brings just as much as did the believers of old. And does he speak today? Yes, and here's one of the key things, because he wants us to know him. We know these things. We've heard these things. We've seen them written about. But does that really mean we listen to God's voice? Isaiah said this in 48, verses 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you would heed my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Oh, that you would heed my commandments. But do we listen? With all the voice and all the noise in our world today, can we listen? Are there things that interfere? Distractions? You got all that now? But this is sometimes what we hear. Thank you, folks, for demonstrating for me. It's not just voices. It's the noise that fills up our lives. What if we've been able to screen out most of the voices, the noise, and narrow it down? Does that always mean we're listening to the right voice? Hearing it or reading it? Think about this now. John 10, verse 2 through 5. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And listen, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do we know the right voice? Is it important to us to hear the right voice, to listen to the voice of God among all the other voices and all the other noise and all the other things that we hear in this world? Well, let's look at one repeated passage, Matthew 11, 15, and Dick Billups will love this because it's in Revelation quite a number of times. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. It sounds pretty silly, doesn't it? I mean, of course we've got ears, so of course we hear. Don't we? Do we actually hear? And if we hear, do we listen? Do we actually have ears spiritually? Well, don't we at the new birth find that ability as part of what we receive as a grace gift of God? Don't we? But you knew there was going to be a but in there somewhere, didn't you? But it's not developed. A baby is born with the inherent physical ability to hear. But does he or she know what they hear? understanding, comprehension's got to grow. It has to be learned. That's where choice is. We must all choose to learn to listen to God's voice and develop that ability. How? Well, one way is making the listening to God's voice important to you, even vital to you. But how do you know if you're hearing the voice of God? Well, if you decide that God's voice, that hearing his voice, or hearing it better if you already are listening, is important, if you think this is an important point, then there are a couple steps that you can begin to take. And I'll give them to you fast. There's five of these. Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Ask yourself, is what I hear something that agrees with the Bible? Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Fads change, trends change, opinion changes, even science changes. But the truth of God does not change. Number two, when you hear a voice leading or talking, does it make me feel more like Christ? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Does this idea, does this voice, if I follow through on it, make me more like Christ? That's the goal that God has for our lives. Number three, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He wants the way that he shaped you to make an incredible impact in the world. So God's leading will not contradict who he's made you to be. Number four, is it convicting rather than condemning? Sounds a little strange, doesn't it? But listen. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times when we're quoting that, we stop there, but the verse doesn't stop there. There is no condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now listen to this. The motivation behind conviction is that God loves you and wants to help you be better. The motivation behind condemnation is that Satan hates your guts and wants you to be miserable. There's a big difference there. And number five, do I sense God's peace about it? 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Satan wants to drive us compulsively so that we don't think we've just got to do something. But God desires to draw us compassionately so that we know it's his will and we're walking in his way. So let's look for a few minutes at a very important passage of Scripture. It's something that many of us can say from memory. It's found in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And it goes, and I've got to say, I learned it in the King James, the Revised Standard Version. So if you're using something else, my wording may sound a little old-fashioned, but that's how I learned it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Now there's something about prayer that we need to mention. Prayer is not just like sending an email to God to let him know what you want today. Prayer is about communication. It's about listening to what God might say to you, either his voice, his word. But what might he say to you? Yes, God does say something to you. It's not just one way. You mean to tell me that I've got to listen to God? Listen for the voice of God? I hope you caught that little phrase there. I don't think you did. Keep listening. But is it as that he may or he will respond? He will answer? So let's look at this prayer as communication, as something that will lead to our listening to God. In your own heart, in your own soul, see where that listening could lead. The Lord's Prayer, listening to God. Our Father, who art in heaven, where's the voice coming from? Where's the voice that you hear coming from? Is it coming from an iPad, a radio, a TV, a DJ, a self-help book? Maybe. Is it coming from God? And where is it directing you? What is that voice pointing you towards? Think. Hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed mean? Holy, wonderful, glorious. Is the truth that you hear when we're praying, when you're listening to somebody, is that truth about God? Does what you hear honor God, his word, his way? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. How do you think things are done in heaven? Does what you're told, is what the voice saying, going to lead you to act like heaven is real, and that you're there or going there, and the one you're following is there? Do you really want God's kingdom to come here on earth? Give us this day our daily bread. Who ultimately supplies our daily needs? Where does our help come from? Are we responsible for it? We work hard every day. We earn our bread. Well, that's true. But who gave you the job? Who gave you the talents? Who gave you the ability? Where'd the bread come from? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do we forgive our debtors? Is God telling us to forgive? Is the voice that you're listening to telling you to forgive, or telling you to think, that person's a schnook, I'll never forgive him? And if it tells you that, is it God's voice? Are you listening? And lead us not into temptation. Temptation exists all over the world today. All over the world. What does the voice on the radio or the TV or in your head say you should do? Is it tempting? Where is it leading you? But deliver us from evil. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? We don't want to go there, or do we? Sometimes Satan can make evil sound or seem real attractive. Listen to the voice that's speaking to you and think real hard before you respond. Where are you going? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Whose kingdom are you pointing towards? Listen to the voice of God. Now, what about results? What about if we listen through all the scriptures? Don't take the scriptures as just a textbook. This is not just a self-help book that will tell you how to live a better life. This is the written voice of God speaking to your heart and my heart. Listen to what it has to say. How about results? What will happen when we listen? Matthew, again, I've been in Matthew quite a bit here. Chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, it reads this way. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The man listened. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The man did not listen. It was as if God says to us, my child, it is not my desire that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So listen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Jesus here in this Matthew that I just read confronts us with a very simple truth. Each of us is building a life, and its soundness is involved with listening to his voice and acting on it. Listening to God and following him like the wise man of verses 24 and 25 are the ways that we build enduring lives, are the ways that we survive the storms of this 21st century. Listening to his voice and responding. It's the foundation that no temptation or test or trial can destroy. Jesus said that everyone who hears his truth and does not act upon it will be like the foolish man of verses 26 and 27 who built his house on the sand. The outside may look sound and solid, but out of sight, the sand is shifting away, and life itself is getting ready to collapse. What if you or someone you know listened more to the voice of God and responded to what you hear in building your life, in helping someone else to save theirs, or to build the kingdom of God? So ask yourself now, as you listen to his voice in the quiet of your heart, isn't it about time? Isn't it about time I listened to the voice of God? Close up and listen to this video as it plays. I'm not relating you to the dog. That's not the video that I was looking for. Technical innovation sometimes is great and sometimes is not. So let's pray together. Lord, help us as we close, as we try to listen to your voice. Help us to hear what we need to hear. Not just the noise of the world, not just many good competing voices. Help us to listen to you, to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave. I don't know what you were thinking about as you heard those scriptures read and listened to the message today, but I know the one thing that crossed my mind was this question.
And I know I struggle with this at times, and perhaps you can identify this. Do we get so good at doing the Christian life, maybe in some area of life or certain situations or decisions in life, do we get so good at doing the Christian life that we don't think we need to hear from God anymore? I've got this. I don't need to stop and hear. I don't need to stop and pray. And I'm so good at this, and I already know what the answer is going to be. And the challenge to us this morning is to cut through the noise. And sometimes that noise is our own pride. Sometimes that noise is our own what we want to do and the way we want things to turn out. And so we run down that path. But the questions that we heard this morning to challenge us, is it the right voice? Does it agree with the Bible? Does it make me more like Christ? Is it consistent with how God has shaped me? Is it convicting? Do you sense God's peace? Those questions are incredible reminders to stop, to listen. Sometimes it means to wait. And don't we love when God says wait? But we know it's for a purpose. We know it's for a reason. Are we ready to listen to God personally? Are we ready to listen to God corporately? Are we ready to listen to Him as a church? Say, God, what do we do next in this area, this area, this area? Or are we just wanting to rely on ourselves? The choice is ours. I'm going to pray and give us opportunity to respond. David challenged us at the beginning to be prepared to respond. That response might be different for every person sitting in the room today. The idea is not in any way to manipulate a response, but the idea is to challenge us not to leave with regret, not to leave where God was asking us to make a decision and us to just put it off. So that's what this opportunity is about in the next few moments. If you want to come up here and have myself or Pastor Tom pray with you or pray for you, maybe you just want to come and sit here and pray on your own. Maybe you want to go to somebody else in the room and pray with them or for them or even ask them to pray for you, whatever the need. In the next few moments, don't leave this place with regret. Let's bow and pray, and then we'll stand to our feet and we'll respond. Dear Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to hear directly from the Creator of the universe. I thank you that you don't just sit back and wait to see if we're going to call to you for anything. You invite us, you command us to call to you, and you promise that you'll not only hear us, but you'll show us. As your word says, great and mighty things which we do not know. I pray during these next few moments that you show individuals and show us as a church great and mighty things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet.